Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee with Lee Kings of Evan Real Talk. Tonight, we have a lot to talk about. We got the big UFC 264 card coming up this weekend. And then we had news about Nate Diaz coming back to fight Robbie Lawler at UFC 266 as a co-main event. A lot to talk about. We're going to do a deep dive into UFC 264. But, you know, I got to ask my man Keith, how is he doing, man? What's going on, Keith? How you doing, bro?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
Who'd you say is the co-main event?
I was talking about the co-main event for UFC 266, Robbie Lawler versus the return of Nick Diaz. I was asking, what did you think about that fight?
No, I mean, I heard you say, ask, what the fuck? Oh, sorry about that. People are driving crazy out here. So, I like the fight. I also heard that Nick Diaz could be fighting Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, that's what I was asking you about.
Oh, I thought you said he was fighting Masvidal.
No, Robbie Lawler.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's fighting Robbie Lawler. So, I swear I saw something about Masvidal, but I can't see a fucking thing. So, my bad, I'm driving right now. So, yeah, so I like to fight. I mean, Nick Diaz, I'm not really excited because I never really saw him fight. I wasn't watching UFC at that time. I mean, I was a fan, but I was pretty young, so I wasn't really tuning in every week, but I was definitely a fan. I miss his era. I miss his era in the UFC, so I really don't know Nick Diaz like that. I've never even seen a Nick Diaz fight. So, besides probably on YouTube, I believe I've watched a few of his fights on YouTube, at least some highlights on YouTube, but I missed his era, so I'm not really excited for it. I mean, I think it's cool that they're bringing him back against Robbie Lawler. I feel like, I guess they fought last year, so it's relative, and I feel like that's a pretty. I feel like that's good matchmaking for a return of Nick Diaz. You know, I think if you put him versus, you know, one of these top welterweights right away, I think he'd probably get outclassed pretty bad, and I think that's a good fight to bring him back in with.
I like the fight, too. Two big names in the game. The last time they fought was UFC 47. So I don't know and I agree with you when you said if you would put him in there with any other welterweights, he would get outclassed. We have to remember Nick was a champion over there at Strikeforce. I want to see either WEC or Strikeforce. He was a champion over there too. So, but hey, man, it's good that he's back. But I think the biggest story that everybody missing is that marijuana is now not an illegal substance when it comes to USADA and the Nevada Athletic Sports Commission. Marijuana is not illegal anymore. It's not frowned upon. I think that's the biggest story for me. As you know, I've been an advocate of marijuana being used instead of painkillers, opioids, and things like that. And I think this is a big step in the right direction, and I'm all for it. And, hey, man, I'm looking forward to this fight with Nick. I'm a fan of Nate and Nick, but I think Nick is the better of the two because he doesn't put himself in danger as much as Nate does. Nate is kind of reckless and careless.
Cutting out a little bit, bro.
Huh?
Your mic's cutting out a lot right now.
All right, hold on, my bad. I think Nate is a little bit more technical than Nick, and Nate doesn't take as much punishment as Nick. So I kind of like Nick more than Nate. But I think Nick is going to get in there, and he's going to get in there and put on the show against Lawler. I think Lawler is the type of opponent that
you know, Lawler isn't going to try to take you down. Lawler is going to stand and bang with you. He's going to trade. And I think this is a good fight for a returning Nick Diaz. If you was to ask me to pick a winner today, I would probably lean towards Lawler because of how long Nick has been gone. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see what kind of training videos and stuff and the UFC countdown show, how he's looking before, you know, we make our official picks. But I like this fight a whole lot. But big ups to the Nevada Athletic Commission for finally catching up with the times when it comes to marijuana. And I'm giving them a clap right now. And all you old leagues and federations and sports organizations, y'all need to get with the times also. Sha'Carri Richardson, we got your back, baby. We know you should be in the Olympics. But, hey, you still young. You can get to the next one.
Yeah, that situation sucks, too. I didn't really read into it because I feel like I already get the gist of it. I don't really need to. That's one of those stories. There's really not that much to read about. They're not letting her compete because she had marijuana in her system. I also read that, I mean, first of all, that shouldn't even be a banned substance, first of all.
Exactly.
Second of all,
exactly.
That shouldn't even be a banned substance. Second of all, it shouldn't be a banned substance. Third of all, I'm pretty
it
sure I heard.
It shouldn't be a banned substance.
Yeah, third of all, it shouldn't be a banned substance. And then fourth of all, which it shouldn't be fourth because it's not like I'm trying to put this after anything. It's really, you know, it's pretty sad. I think they said her mother died like just before or at some point recently. I think her mom passed away, the young lady's mom. And, you know, a lot of people said, I'm not sure if she said it or who said it, but there was speculation that, you know, she isn't really a big like weed smoker and she just, or a marijuana smoker. And she smoked because she was stressed out because she saw the passing of her mother, which is on top of the fact that it shouldn't be a banned substance, and she should be competing anyways. I mean, it seems like even more of a slight towards the athlete, you know, being that she just saw, you know, her mother just passed away. So I feel like that's even more of a almost a disrespect to her.
Yeah. Yeah, she did say she smoked because that was one of the ways she was dealing with the grief of the death of her mother. But we're not going to go down deeper to the rabbit hole. But I just want people to also realize that Michael Phelps was caught on video smoking a bong, and they allowed him to compete in the upcoming Olympics that he was scheduled to be in. But that's neither here nor there. You know, what we came here tonight to talk about is MMA, UFC 264, coming up Saturday. The trilogy fight between Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor and the co-main event, Gilbert Burns, taking on Stephen Thompson. But, my man Keys, do you got access to the card? To the fight card?
No, I definitely don't have access to the card. I'm driving in the car right now, so I don't have the card. But I do have something that I want to say here. I have a little disclaimer. I can wait and say it after. But at some point, I do want to get this little disclaimer off.
Go ahead.
So this is what I want to say. First of all, everybody who said that, wait, let's see how many times it's been. Okay, McGregor went, he fought the boxing match. Then he came back, he fought Habib in his first fight back. Then he fought Cowboy after that. Then he fought Poirier this year, and now he's fighting Poirier again. Okay, so that's four UFC fights. And wait a second. Hold on. That's four UFC fights after his boxing match. Wait a second. Hold on. Moment of silence. Hold on. I just had to have that, you know, because all the people, all the naysayers who thought that McGregor was done, and they said that once he boxed, he was going to make too much money and that he was never going to fight a UFC fight. They said he made too much money. He's done with the game. Why would you go back to fighting in a cage after you made that much money? And I just want to point it out and say that I'm laughing at you. I shouldn't have had a moment of silence. That was the wrong way to go with it. But I'm driving right now. I'm a little bit distracted, admittedly. Yeah, you were wrong. So if you said that, you were wrong. And I just want to remind you that you were wrong, and then you were wrong again. So this is going to be the fourth time that he's fought since he went to boxing. After all the naysayers said that he was done with the game and he made too much money and why would he fight in a cage? He doesn't care. And they said he wasn't passionate about fighting. Everybody told me he wasn't passionate about fighting. And guess who was one of the only ones saying it? And I said it on our show after he fought the boxing match. What did I say? After he fought the boxing match, what did I say? I said, I believe McGregor's passionate about fighting. Yeah, obviously he loves money. I think we all have a love for money. And obviously that's a lot of money. But I believe he still will want to fight regardless of the money. Him making less money to fight a UFC fight, you know, was irrelevant because he's still making millions and he loves to fight. And I believe that Mayweather payday would not wear away at his passion for the game. And I think we can admit that your boy Keys was right. So it feels damn good to say it, and I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you all for the doubt.
I don't think people doubted that he will fight. I think people doubted that his heart would be into training and going through the process of fighting. Now, you said he's fought four times since coming back from boxing. That's four times since 2018. So basically, what's that, one fight every, what, 8 months? Maybe?
Well, he fought Floyd in 2017, so you can even take it a step further and say he's fought once a year since he came back, and that's fine because that's not really what I'm pointing out. What I'm just saying is that he kept fighting, and everybody and their mom told me that he wasn't going to fight anymore and that we'd never see McGregor in the UFC again. So that was my basis. But, yeah, once a year average over 4 years.
Whereas I'm looking at prior to him doing the boxing thing, he was fighting like 2 and 3 times a year. Whereas now you could barely get him to fight. You're lucky to get him to fight once a year. But that's all I'm saying, because in 2015
he
fought 3 times.
But he is fighting 2 times. This is already his second fight in 2021.
Okay.
And then look at this. Look at this. Now answer this. What do you think? Now, what do you honestly think? I want to know. So if McGregor wins on Saturday, regardless of anybody, if they think he's going to win or not, if, let's just say figuratively or whatever, metaphor, whatever, he wins Saturday, do you think he fights a third time in 2021 or he takes the rest of the year off?
It all depends on if he gets the title shot. If he gets the title shot, he'll fight again.
Okay, so if that happens, that will be what, his third fight in this calendar year?
Yeah.
It sounds like the season. The season.
Yeah, but he's promised you a season in 2020, and you was pissed off because you didn't get it.
Nah, I was pissed off, but I think more of the reason why we didn't get it was because there was no fans, and he doesn't want to fight with no fans.
Everybody else is fighting with no fans. But he did fight with no fans, though. He fought January 23rd. Yeah, he fought before January 23rd, 2021. Yeah, that was before. Nah, that was just this year. There were no fans there.
He fought that time. You're right. He did. Yeah, that time he did fight. There was no fans?
I think they fought in Abu Dhabi. They fought in Abu Dhabi. They had a handful of fans. If they fought at the Performance Center, there were no fans there. I'm checking right now to see where they fought at 257. It was at Abu Dhabi, so they did have fans there. But, you know, I'm going to go another way with it. You said if he wins, does he fight again? If he loses, what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he loses, then he probably. I don't know. I think if he loses, that's very bad. You know, I don't know. Here, I don't know what he would try to do.
Oh, you know. You know, you just don't want to say it.
What are you saying? He would go over to boxing?
Nope. If he loses, he's relegated to being a guy that's going to be a super fight type of guy that comes back only to fight, you know, this guy, that guy, or a hand-picked guy. It's just he's going to be doing what Floyd Mayweather is doing now, but it'll only be in the octagon. Me personally, I think if he loses, he should just go ahead and step away from the game, promote his proper 12, you know, maybe do the boxing thing, maybe become an ambassador of the sport. But I just don't see him losing 3 out of 4 fights, him sticking around to do the training, to be dedicated and doing all that. I think his career will be basically, he won't retire, but he won't be that Conor McGregor where he's fighting to reclaim championship goal. I think he'll just be like we look at George St. Pierre right now. Every time his name brought up, we get happy, you know, to see whether or not he's going to come back, whether or not he's going to fight. And I think that's what Conor would be. He would be in the George St. Pierre type situation if he loses. But let's go ahead, man. Let's jump into this card. But you don't have the card available because I was going to ask you, what do you have your sleeper fight of the night and which fighter you wanted to watch. But then if you don't have the card, I guess we can go ahead and jump into our predictions for the fight, for the UFC 264. So, hold on. But you did bring up a good point the other day. You brought up something on Twitter about Nico Price and Michelle Pereira. And I tend to agree with you on this. I would have bumped Sean O'Malley's fight down to the prelims, and I probably would have elevated the Nico Price card up to the main card. But the UFC is sticking with Sean O'Malley being on the main card, going against a guy that we don't even know. But once again, the UFC is once again protecting Sean O'Malley, you know, making sure that, you know, that they don't throw too much stiff competition at them too early so that they can build them up. And like we talked about on the previous show, they can be good and they can be bad. Because we seen him against Brandon Vera. He was getting pieced up. Then he got an injury and he couldn't finish. But, hey, I would have bumped his card down to the prelims and moved Nico Price up. Or I may have moved Carlos Condon and Max Griffin up and put Sean O'Malley as the prelims pay-per-view, the prelims main event. But let's jump into it, man. Actually, I'm going to start with that Nico Price versus Michelle Pereira fight. So we're going to do the two headline fights in the prelims, then the main card. You got Nico Price 14-4 going against Michael Pereira 25-11. Pereira's the favorite actually at -160, and Nico Price at +135. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with Nico Price. I just think Nico Price is. I'm just not impressed with the. You say Fajeda?
Michelle Pereira.
Yeah, so I'm not really impressed with him. I don't really think he's that good. I think Nico Price wins that. And the reason why I say it is because I think Nico Price is much more durable of a fighter. I don't think Michelle Pereira has fought, you know, the level of competition Nico Price has fought. And I just feel like fighting a guy like that, I think Pereira is going to be taken off guard by his level. I was a Nico Price fan when he first came on the game when he was, you know, he was still on the prelims all the time. And he's actually on the prelims now, but I'm saying when he was in the prelims of, okay, I have no idea who that guy is. It's my first time picking him on DraftKings type of vibe. Like when he was still in that bracket, you know, I was a fan of him early on in his UFC days. And I just think Pereira is going to be taken by surprise by Nico Price's durability and his speed, his pace, the way that Pereira hits him and he just keeps coming forward. I think that's going to throw him off guard, and I think Nico Price will win by unanimous decision in that fight.
Actually, I think Nico Price is going to fight a fight that we haven't seen from him. I think Pereira is basically a stand-up type guy, and I think Nico Price is going to take him down and force him to fight off his back. Although Michel Pereira is from Brazil, and those guys, those fighters are supposed to be, you know, good grapplers and good mat technicians. But when I watch Michel Pereira, most of his fights are basically in the stand-up round. And I think Nico Price could have great success if he takes him down, mixes up his striking with takedowns and timely takedowns, and doesn't get caught in a submission. I think Nico Price dominates Michel Pereira, and he could keep him confused in there. And I think he wins a very commanding unanimous decision over Michel Pereira. But one thing about Nico Price that we have to be careful of in this fight, Nico Price has to have head movement in this fight, and he has to be able to defend all types of strikes from Pereira, meaning kicks, knees, and punches. But I think Nico Price gets it done on unanimous decision in dominating fashion. Next up, we got Carlos Condit, plus 160, going against Max Griffin, minus 190. Carlos Condit 32-13, Max Griffin 17-8. Who you got?
I roll with Max Griffin. I like Max Griffin a lot. I think, and I want to say, I think Condit's on a win streak right now. I think he's on a win streak. I want to say he's on a 2 or 3 fight win streak. He is definitely the more experienced guy. He's a lot more experienced than Max Griffin, especially in the UFC. Condit's definitely had more wars. He's been in championship bouts where Max Griffin has not been in UFC championship bouts. So, I mean, I think the experience will definitely play a factor. I don't think it'll be an easy fight for Max Griffin, but I do think he'll win in the end. Just being the younger guy, the guy who's a bit more fresh, a bit less miles on him. And I just think Max Griffin he's versatile enough of a fighter. I feel like he's, you know, everybody could always improve, but I think his versatility is at the level where he can win this fight. And I think I see him stopping Carlos Condit in the third round TKO.
Okay, you're right. Carlos Condit is on a two fight win streak. I really like Max Griffin also, but I think Carlos Condit may have found his groove. So I'm gonna take Carlos Condit, man. I think Carlos Condit is gonna submit him probably early in the third round. I think he's gonna use effective takedown. And mixed with his striking, I think he's gonna get Griffin out of there with a submission. You got a lot of back feedback.
What about now?
Yeah, you good?
Good now? Yeah, I was just hopping out of the car.
Yeah.
You say you got Condit by submission?
Yeah.
All right. The next one.
We're not even gonna talk about it, but I think we both picking Sean O'Malley. I'm probably going to take him in a first-round knockout, and you probably going to have O'Malley winning what? First-round knockout?
Yeah, I'm going with a first-round or two.
All right. Moving on. Yo, girl, Irene Aldana taking on Yana Kuniskaya. Aldana, 12-6, minus 120. Kuniskaya, 14-5, plus 100. I think I know where you're going at with this one, but who do you got?
Give me 1 second. Who's this, Kuniskaya and Aldana?
Your girl Irene Aldana.
Oh yeah, Aldana. Okay, yeah, Aldana by domination. It's not even going to be close. It's not even going to be close at all. It's going to be a domination. I think the two of them. I believe Kunitskaya is a kickboxer. I want to say she was a kickboxing champion in her previous promotion, but I think.
Yo, you there? All right, we lost Keys for a minute. So I'm going to go ahead and make my prediction on this fight. I'm also going with Irene Aldana. I like what I see in her. She's actually very technical. She's 3 inches taller. She's on the two-fight winning streak. And I'm going to take Aldana to win this fight, man. I know Kunitskaya, looking at her record right now, Kunitskaya 14-5, but sometimes in the UFC, two styles make fights. But I think I'm gonna go with Keys. I think Aldana is the better of the two, and I think she shows it and she wins convincingly, and she moves up in the rankings. I like Aldana to win this fight versus Yana Kunitskaya. Let me see, can I get my man Keys back? Keys, you there?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
My bad. So I don't know how I got disconnected. I was just getting it back into my apartment. My bad, y'all. I might have hit the button by accident. I was trying to open the door. But anyways, I was just getting off saying I think Kunitskaya, I want to say she was a kickboxing world champion in her previous promotion. I could be wrong. Maybe she was a Muay Thai champion. I want to say, but she was a champion. I want to say she's a kickboxing world champion, but either way, I think it'll be a stand-up bout. Aldana is a great boxer, and I think it's going to be absolute domination. Aldana's going to put on a clinic here, and it's only going to further justify my support of Aldana, which was an early support. And you remember that. I've been on the Aldana fan wagon since many, 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 many fights ago. So it'll just make me even that much more happy to see her get another W on her resume on Saturday night. I think it'll be a unanimous decision.
Yeah, I got Aldana winning a unanimous decision also. Even though I think Kunitskaya isn't going to be a pushover, but I think Aldana being on a two fight win streak, and her being definitely a well rounded fighter, I think it might be too much for Kunitskaya. But I'm gonna say Aldana wins this fight, and I wouldn't even be surprised if she get a 10-8 round somewhere in there also. Third fight on the main card, we got Tatu Avassa 12-3, -130 going up against Greg Hardy 7-3 +110. In the heavyweight division. I'm going to go first on this one. I'm not a fan of Greg Hardy, the person, but Greg Hardy, the fighter, has definitely made strides. He has gotten better. I didn't think I really didn't know what to think of him coming into the UFC, especially with him just being elevated like he was that good. Because he had a couple knockouts and stuff coming up. But he has gotten better. He has worked on his craft. He needs to work on, being able to get back to his feet. But he has kicked. He's improved his kick game. He's improved his head movement. He always had good striking. But this is definitely a step up in competition. And as we have seen with him and his step up in competition, that he hasn't fared as well. So I'm going to take Tatu Avassa to win this fight by unanimous decision. I think Greg Hardy is a tough guy, and it's hard to knock him out, but I think Tatu Avassa win this fight. And I think Greg Hardy, after this fight, will need to reassess his career in the UFC. He might have to you know, change camps, you know, maybe make a decision on if this really for him. Because if you start fighting the top guys, your skill set or your weaknesses does get exposed. But I'm going to take Tuivasa in this fight. I think he wins the unanimous decision once again. Who you got? Yo, you there? All right, seems like we lost Keys again.
Yo, my bad, bro. So,
all right,
this is what I'm thinking, right? You can hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
So this is what I'm thinking, right? Is there any echo?
No.
My battle is kind of echoing. So what I'm saying is that I think Tuivasa is going to stop Greg Hardy in this fight. I think it's going to be a I'm calling a second round knockout, like a flat knockout. So Greg Hardy will go out. I think this fight, you know, he fought who did he fight? Greg Hardy he had trouble with. The Russian heavyweight.
Volkov.
Yeah, he fought Volkov. Yeah, I didn't see the fight him and Volkov, but I did pick Volkov to beat him in that fight. I felt like that was too quick for him to be taking on a guy of Volkov's level. You know, at least for Greg Hardy. Clearly not for my boy Cyril Gane, because from what I heard, Cyril Gane got Volkov clean up out of there in their fight. But that's a story for maybe in a few minutes. Maybe you could fill me in on that fight after we finish our predictions. But
He lost to Tybura in December. He lost to Marcin Tybura in December 2020. But he did lose to Volkov November 2019. So, yeah, that's where we at with it. So, basically, he's 2-2 in his last four fights.
Has he only had four fights in UFC?
No. He has, let me see. I want to say he got, I think he has about six fights in the UFC. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. He has eight fights in the UFC. Two, four, six, eight. Yeah, this will be his ninth fight in the UFC.
All right, so... Yeah, I think second-round knockout for Tuivasa. I think Tuivasa has a ton of power, and this is probably, I'd say, the hardest-hitting guy, debatably the hardest-hitting guy that Hardy has fought. Another thing that I think is going to plague him here is his cardio. Pretty sure he is asthmatic, and I know he was, you know, I don't know if he took a point or what was, but I know it is illegal to use your inhaler during the fight, and, you know, he gets pretty bad. His asthma gets pretty bad during the fight. So that's why I think the second round knockout, I think the first round, Hardy comes out swinging. They both come out, you know, heavy hands, heavy shots. I think in the second round, Hardy will be very winded after trying to finish Tuivasa in the very first round. I think he'll throw out at least most of his energy in the first round. Second round, Tuivasa comes out. They're trading hands, catching him with a big shot. And I think, that'll be second round. I actually go second round TKO for Tuivasa. I'll change it. Knockout to TKO.
Okay. Well, I got Tuivasa winning a decision. I think Greg Hardy is just a tough guy. I don't think he's going to get knocked out. We'll get to the co-main event. We got Gilbert Burns, 19-4, plus 130, taking on Wonderboy Stephen Thompson at 16-4-1, minus 155. I would say this is a title eliminator fight. But it's only a title eliminator fight if Stephen Thompson loses. Gilbert Burns has already lost to Usman. He got dominated by Usman. I think if Stephen Thompson wins, he remains in the title picture, whereas I think Gilbert Burns probably has about maybe two more fights before he can even think about getting a rematch with Usman. So you got Burns versus Thompson. Who you got, Keys?
Burns versus Thompson. I'm thinking I'm going with Thompson in this fight. I think Thompson's going to have I think he's a far better striker. I mean, I think Wonderboy is a far better striker than most of the UFC. So it's not like it's really saying that much. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a hater for Gilbert Burns. He has a ton of power, and yes, he can. His power is enough to knock out Wonderboy. It's enough to knock out most of these guys. But at the same time, my thing is, I don't know if I believe that Gilbert Burns is going to be able to find Wonderboy in this fight. I feel like Wonderboy is going to be, he's going to be very elusive in there, as we know him to be. And I think he's going to be in and out. His striking is going to be unbelievable. And I think Wonderboy will win this. I think he'll win unanimous decision.
I like Wonderboy in this fight also. I think Wonderboy being a natural welterweight, whereas Gilbert Burns should be fighting maybe in a weight class under welterweight. I think the size of Stephen Thompson would get him problems. 6 foot versus 5'10". 75-inch reach advantage against 71 inches. I like Stephen Thompson in this fight, man. I think Gilbert Burns, he does possess power, but his power is probably more suited for a smaller weight class versus welterweight. As we saw against Usman was just sticking him with the jab, and he was hurting him just with the jab. So if Usman hurt him with the jab, I think Stephen Thompson can hurt him with the jab. I like Thompson outclassing him, man. I think Thompson is a great overall fighter. I think he's hungry to get back in the title picture. I like Stephen Thompson to win this fight by unanimous decision, and he stays in the title hunt. Gilbert Burns, I think if he loses this fight, he needs to think about going back down and seeing what he can do in a smaller weight class. But I like Stephen Thompson in this fight also. Going up to the main event, the trilogy. We got Conor McGregor, 5'9", Dustin Poirier, 5'9". Conor McGregor, 74-inch reach event, 74-inch reach. Dustin Poirier, 72-inch reach. Both fighters southpaw. Dustin, 27-6, minus 130. Going against Conor McGregor, 22-5, plus 110. I'll go ahead and go first on this one. Last time I picked Conor to win this fight, I thought he would come in and establish a jab on Dustin Poirier and, you know, kind of outwork him in the foot standing up. I thought Dustin was going to, you know, try to shoot early and take him down and make Conor fight off his back. But, you know, Conor did win round one. He was like Keys will say, he was outclassing Dustin in the boxing game. Dustin made an adjustment, went to the leg kicks, hurt Conor, and then he finished him. I don't know how this fight is going to go, but Dustin is the better all-around mixed martial artist, whereas Conor is still, to me, a one-trick pony. But I think Conor's MMA career is on the line in this fight. I think he comes out the more desperate fighter. He fights more desperately in this fight. I think he takes a little bit more chances in this fight. I think Dustin would try to pick and choose his spots. He'll be more of a technician in this fight. I picked Conor last time, and I think he's going to be more desperate. I think he's going to come out, probably check the leg kicks. Fuck it. I'm going Dustin Poirier, man. Dustin Poirier wins this fight by split decision, and it's going to be a good fight. I think this fight will not be one of those ones. Hopefully it doesn't end in the first round. Hopefully it's not a snooze fest. I'm going Dustin Poirier, man. Split decision. I was going to take Conor, but I just changed my own mind.
All right, so this is my thing. And Lee's not going to like this, and many people are not going to like to hear this, but, you know, the truth often hurts in life, and that just is what it is. So
you better not.
The thing is that Poirier's takedowns are no threat to McGregor. They are no threat. His wrestling is no threat at all. When McGregor and this is y'all gotta really, you know, it's often been speculated how much that I am objectively speaking on the show. I think I need to see more of the MMA and the UFC fan base think more objectively, because I see people on Twitter saying unbelievable things about this fight. I see people saying complete nonsense about this fight. Even Chael Sonnen, I saw saying complete nonsense about this fight, and I was pretty disappointed. I started watching his breakdown, and I had to turn it off about 2 minutes in, because one of the first things that I heard him talking about was the threat of Poirier's takedowns. And I was like, man, are you serious? A guy like Chael Sonnen, who, you know, is a high-level wrestler, high-level jiu-jitsu, high-level pretty much everything, like, really saying that? Come on, man. Where y'all get to this point where it's all emotions over being objective? It's like McGregor is apparently trash now because he lost the last fight. Apparently he's never fought. He has no skills. Everything Poirier does is superior than McGregor. And this just reminds me more and more of the Diaz rematch. This reminds me exactly of the Diaz rematch. I feel like we've gone back in time. We went through the Matrix, back to the Diaz rematch, and here we are with the same naysayers saying the same shit. And look what happened in the Diaz rematch. Diaz got knocked down more times than I can remember. But that's neither here nor there. The thing is this. Poirier's takedown is no threat. We saw how well McGregor did when he fought a guy, when he fought Khabib, who he expected to shoot and take him down over and over. In the first two rounds, I think he did really well defending the takedown. Now, apply that same takedown defense to this fight. How many takedowns does Poirier land? Maybe one. Maybe one. And that's debatable. That is debatable. Because you put that takedown defense, I don't think Poirier is going to be confident to shoot. I don't think he's going to be confident to shoot again once he has to deal with that. When you go for a takedown, take a lot of energy, come back up, and then you're getting pieced up on the feet, I don't think he might shoot out of desperation, if anything. I think he might be shooting out of desperation. And I love Poirier. So I'm just trying to keep it real with you guys. There's not enough realness, so I got to come in and supply it. So the takedown defense, the threat is not a threat the way that it's being made out to seem. Obviously, Poirier has a pretty crazy – his jiu-jitsu is definitely – obviously, I believe he's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. Obviously, he almost caught Khabib in that guillotine, and that was actually pretty crazy. I really thought he had Khabib beat with that guillotine. I was really excited in that moment. I actually wish that he did get the win there. It didn't happen. But, yeah, obviously the guillotine's a threat. If Poirier were to finish the submission, is probably the better route for this fight here, because I think McGregor is going to correct the leg kicks. And he's actually going to – I think he's also going to not only have an answer for the leg kicks, not only will he check the leg kicks, but also I think he'll come in throwing more of his own kicks. I think you'll see McGregor throwing his own leg kicks and also hopefully going back to his body kicks. I'd like to see some spinning body kicks. I think he will at least throw one or two spinning body kicks, and I think that'll be a factor there. I just think Poirier – I think it means so much more to McGregor to win this fight than it means for Poirier to win this fight. I think Poirier, you know, when he won the interim belt, I feel like he, you know, someone said it. They felt like they thought that Poirier felt like he already won the belt when he won the interim belt. And then when he went and fought, you know, he didn't look so good. Then this time, I feel like since he won the rematch, I think he's going to go in. You know, he's going in saying, I'm going to knock him out again. And, you know, I love the confidence. But at the same time, I think that's going to be a lot more difficult than he probably understands. And I think this McGregor is going to be a lot better than the last one. And, you know, if it weren't for the leg kicks in the last fight, you can't convince me that Poirier was on his way to winning that fight. So, yeah, I got McGregor winning this time. It's going to be an absolute clinic. I predict between 3 and 4 knockdowns for McGregor before a third round stoppage by TKO.
I think he's Dustin's wrestling doesn't have to be used as a weapon. His wrestling has to be used as a way of making Conor carry his weight, making Conor get back to his feet. That is a way of making him use energy. And when you use energy, you kind of, you know, your cardio kind of comes and goes or whatever. I don't think that he's going to use wrestling like Khabib uses it. He's using it in a different way. But let's talk about this. I picked Dustin. You picked Conor. What do you think of the winner getting the title shot? Now, I know that my man Keys has been very objective here lately. Dana White came out and said the winner of this fight is going to fight Oliveira. I say if Poirier wins, he should definitely get a shot. But I don't agree that if Conor wins, he should get a shot. Where do you stand at on this?
Where I stand at is, you know, I mean, it's whatever to me. I mean, if he wants to, I feel like if Poirier wins, you know, give him, and he fights Oliveira next, that's absolutely fine with me. If McGregor wins, I mean, I already put it on Twitter. You saw what I thought. I mean, I already tweeted it. What I would want to see is that, you know, if it were to go that way, you know, if Poirier wins, then do Oliveira versus Poirier. But, you know, my most ideal scenario would be like a little four-person tournament there, and you have this fight, and then the winner of this waits for the winner of Oliveira's first title defense, which would be against Justin Gaethje, probably ideally in September. It looks like the September card would be next. So then you have them. You have the winner of this Saturday wait for the winner of that, and then the two of those winners collide for the title in the main event at Madison Square Garden in November. That's what I'd want. So to answer your question, that's what I'd want to see. If Poirier wins and they want to do him and Oliveira, that's cool. If McGregor wins, they want to do him and Oliveira. I mean, I'm not – obviously, I'll take it, obviously, but that's not the ideal scenario for me. I don't love that. I mean, because he's won one fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I agree with what you said on Twitter. Also, I think if Dustin wins, it's easy. Dustin wins is easy. If Conor wins, it's not so easy. Because I think if Conor wins, you have to book Oliveira versus Gaethje. Because you just can't have Oliveira sitting there. I think you should already have Oliveira booked against Gaethje. That's just me personally. But I'm looking at AEW wrestling right now, Keys. And guess what? Who they just had on their show? Amanda Nunes and Jorge Masvidal are on AEW wrestling right now live. Wow.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. But, you know, man, I'm hoping everybody make weight. I'm hoping everybody make the walk. Like always when we do these shows, we are wishing for the best for the fighters to make it to Saturday so that they can, do their thing and entertain us. But, Keith, I got to ask you one more question before we jump off, bro. I think we're over time. But I got to ask you this. Yesterday, Evan tweeted out that Dana White said something about this upcoming pay-per-view has the most pre-orders probably in UFC history. All right, my bad. Did you put Keys Real Talk after the tweet?
I think so. I mean, maybe I forgot. I mean, I try to put it, but sometimes I forget.
All right, that's all right, but you tweeted it out, and then I replied that, you know, I really don't care about pay-per-view guys no more because they don't go to the fighter.
Yeah.
How many pay-per-view buys do you think this is going to sell, bro? You think this is going to be top three?
Yeah, and first of all, the wow, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, first of all, yeah, I agree, because once we came up with that number and I realized how much money that – how much revenue that they're creating just from the pay-per-view buys alone, never mind the gate, which is probably a tremendous number, and the merchandise and everything, that the sponsorships, like the amount of money they make per event is probably through the roof anyways, especially for a pay-per-view. You know, the fight nights, they might not make much because there's no gate right now, but – you know, for the pay-per-views, and then the fight nights when you're not, you know, when it's not pre-COVID, you know, and then after, once they have them in 2022. But, yeah, I think it's bullshit that the fighters don't get paid more. It's complete bullshit because the pay-per-views, plus, even if you're selling 200,000 pay-per-views, the amount of money that brings in is tens of millions of dollars. So I don't buy all that shit. Huh?
Hold on. We got Evan here, man.
Yeah, I can't see
Go ahead
it.
And finish your thought, Keith.
Yeah, I can't see it, but I'm saying is that the thing is complete bullshit, because the number that generates, even if you're, you know, what most would consider a pay-per-view flop, which, by the way, I just want to point out that the Gervonta Davis fight they said around 200,000 pay-per-view buys. Now, what are we talking about? You guys love saying that boxing is bigger than the UFC. How? Gervonta Davis, 200,000 pay-per-view buys. What happened? And then when the UFC, you know, does 200,000, you know, our own people are arguing with each other saying how that's a pay-per-view flop. I think we just need to appreciate the product. I think that's what we need to do, and stop talking about pay-per-view buys and stop letting boxing try to get one off on us. Because ain't nobody watching boxing, man. Ain't nobody watching boxing. You know, and even if they are watching it, they ain't really watching it. They're waiting until the big fight. I've never met one boxing fan who watches the entire boxing card. Every single one waits for the main event. They only paid to see that Gervonta Davis fight, and he only sold 200,000 pay-per-views. Man, get boxing out of here, man. I'm disgusted.
You have finally come around to my idea of pay-per-view buys. You have finally come around to my idea. I tried to say this a long time ago. You said it basically a little bit more glowingly than me. But what's up, Evan, man? How you doing, bro?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Good. No, I found some time, and I just wanted to, you know, see if I can give you guys a call and just say hi. And, you know, we got a really big pay-per-view this weekend, so just wanted to, you know, see how you guys doing.
All right, man.
Appreciate
look,
that,
since
bro.
You jumped on, since you're on, let's get your predictions, man. We did two prelim fights also tonight. So we got Nico Price going against Michelle Pereira. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Nico Price based off – he did an interview I watched, and he said that he stopped smoking weed, and he said he seems to be more focused. His strength is back. His cardio is back, and he just seems like he's – and he actually even called out Usman, but he, like, mentioned Usman that he's still coming, and I'm like – you're not really in Usman's category, but I like the moxie. So I'm going to go with Nico by decision, because I don't think either are getting finished, because I think they're pretty tough dudes.
Okay. Me and Keys took Nico Price also. Next up, we got Carlos Condit taking on Max Griffin.
I got to go with Max Griffin on that one. I think he's obviously younger. I think he's finally coming around into his own, and I just think this is a bad matchup for Carlos Condit, but you never know. Carlos could surprise me, but I'm going to take Max Griffin probably, I'll say a round two knockout, because Carlos has gotten finished in his last few, so I could see it.
You and Keith both got Carlos getting knocked out. We both took Sean O'Malley via first round knockout. Yeah. How do you got Sean O'Malley winning? First round knockout?
I'm gonna say round one. It's gonna happen round one, two, or three. He's not gonna do it out. No doubt.
Next up, we got Irene Aldana, 12-6, taking on Yana Kuskaya. Both men keys took Aldana in dominating fashion. Who do you got?
I agree, both of you guys. I think Aldana is the better fighter, and I don't think she's afraid to get hit, to whereas, like, if you go watch Yana's fight against Aspen Ladd, she does not like to get hit, and Aspen Ladd's coach told Aspen to just go punch her in the face, and then she did, and she got the late third-round finish. So definitely taking Aldana in dominating fashion. Probably a decision, though.
Okay. Heavyweight division. We both took Tai Tuivasa against Greg Hardy. I got Tai Tuivasa winning by unanimous decision. Keys got Tai Tuivasa winning by TKO. I think second round TKO. Who you got?
I feel someone else pointed this out. I think a lot of people are picking Tai just based off their hatred for Greg Hardy, which is valid. And Greg Hardy obviously did not look good against Marcin Tybura, but it's a heavyweight fight, and I think anything can happen. And with that being said, I'm just tooling around. I'm going with Tai. I think he's probably going to win by decision.
Okay. Next up, we got Gilbert Burns taking on Stephen Thompson. Me and Keys both took Thompson to win this fight. Keys says that Gilbert Burns won't be able to land too many shots on Thompson. I think Thompson is going to be more technical in this fight. I think if Gilbert Burns loses this fight, he should go back down to a smaller weight division. And I think this fight is not a title eliminator fight, really, because Gilbert Burns already lost to Usman. But I think this fight is bigger for Stephen Thompson because it keeps him in the title picture. Who do you got?
Well, with what you just said, I think if Steven wins, Wonderboy wins, he's getting the title shot. I think if Burns wins, he'll probably have to fight Leon Edwards. So I agree with you there. With that being said, I want Wonderboy to win, but I'm taking Gilbert Burns because I think it's kind of insane that he's a plus 700 underdog to win by KO. Like, you know, in the first round, he's fast, he's explosive, he's powerful. You know, he put Maia down, he knocked down Woodley, he even knocked down Usman. And I'm not saying, you know, Wonderboy is by no means chinny, besides the Pettis fluke, but I just think that's a pretty large number. And I don't know. I think a lot of people going Wonderboy just based off, you know, the striking. He's going to keep him on the outside, jab him, kick him. Well, the way I see it, I really think Burns is going to surprise everyone. Wonderboy's going to go for a kick. Burns is going to grab that leg, and he's going to snap that leg. And I think Wonderboy has had replacement surgery for, like, a knee or something. So it scares me, but I'm going to take Burns, and I'm going to take him by first round submission, like a leg lock or a knee bar or something.
Okay. Last, we got the main event. Lastly, you got the main event. I took Dustin Poirier by split decision. I think Keys took Conor McGregor by, what, TKO or KO, Keys? Or do you say decision?
TKO in the third.
Yeah, TKO in the third. I don't know why I forgot that. Who you got, Evan?
Like I said, with the Wonderboy fight, I want Wonderboy to win. I hope Conor wins. Me and Keys have been talking about it a lot in text, you know, how Conor's going to come out in this fight, how he's going to look, you know. I hope. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to take Conor, and I think he's going to make the right adjustments. I think if you – Conor in the first fight, it's actually aggravating to watch because he threw, like, no kicks at all, and it's so clear that Conor sets up his strikes with his kicks. So in this fight, he's going to set up the strikes with the kicks, and he's going to put Dustin out. I'm going to say late first round knockout.
Wow. Okay. So, okay, you took Gilbert Burns. You and Keys outnumbered me on the Conor fight. We taking Tato Avassa. Definitely we taking Showtime. Sugar Sean O'Malley. The UFC, after this fight for Sean O'Malley, they can't protect him anymore, Keys. They have to give him a real name. I don't care if Ricky Simone. You have to give him a real fight.
Ricky Simon, that's no problem. I think Ricky Simon's like ranked number 15.
Yeah, that's what I said. You have to give him a name now.
Yeah, he's a ranked fighter. And the thing that kind of makes me a little bit irritated is that he was going to get that fight, and then I think, which it's not Ricky Simon's fault because you're trying to get him to fight on 1 week notice, what do you expect? But he couldn't make weight, which is understandable. So salute to him for even wanting to step up and fight, and I respect that a lot. But, they couldn't get the fight done, and then now you got him fighting some guy from the convenience store down the street that I always go to. You know, you got him fighting the cashier at the convenience store that I go to. I swear that guy was pumping my gas last week, the guy he's fighting. So, I don't know, man. I think that might have been the chef at Olive Garden or something. They put him there to fight Sean O'Malley.
Wow.
And let me tell you this. It's annoying for me because Sean O'Malley talks such a big game, and he sits there on Twitter, and he's talking about, you know, he's calling out Cody Garbrandt, calling him no chin or whatever he was saying, and then, you know, calling out all these other top guys. And it's like, man, when are you out here actually campaigning for a top guy? He always campaigns for a top guy when he doesn't have a fight coming up. But then when he actually needs an opponent, when do you see him calling for a top guy? Did anybody notice that? Is that when he needed an opponent this time, where was he calling out Dominic Cruz, Marlon Moraes, Cody Garbrandt, Piotr Jan? Where was he calling out all those guys? He talks such a big game, and then when it comes down to it, he's over here fighting gas station clerks. And I just can't get behind that, man. I can't get behind that because everyone wants to judge Conor McGregor with his come up at 145. They said it because he fought Dennis Siver and all this. But then nobody bats an eye when Sean O'Malley's fighting bums left and right. He's 13-0 and he's still fighting nobodies. Like, what is the explanation for this?
Time out. This show right here, we have been calling out the UFC and the matchmaking they have been giving Sean O'Malley. And it started when they gave him the old man he beat. But when they made that fight, we were like, hell no. You can't make this fight. You have to give him somebody else. We understand him coming up the ranks, but this fight is unacceptable. And this fight that they made for him is unacceptable. And I would have pushed it down to the prelims, and I would have elevated either Nico Price or Carlos Condit. There's no way this Sean O'Malley fight should be on the main card. But we kind of went over in time. Evan called in. Appreciate you, bro, calling in. Miss you. Got to get you back on. We'll talk more about that. But any last words, Keys?
Buy the pay-per-view before Saturday. Most pre-buys ever.
That's funny. Oh, man, that's funny as hell, dog. You know what? I can't follow that up. So, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the fights. Like my man Key say, buy the pay-per-view before Saturday. Get Dana White something else to talk about. But that being said, Lee Keys and Evan Real Talk signing off. Everybody have a great weekend. Positive people, positive energy, yeah, positive results. And as always, in closing out, we always leave you with a peace.